It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we are coming to you Thursday evening. Purdue now has an opponent for their Friday at noon Eastern game. And, Ryan, I didn't pay attention to any of the games today. Can you tell me who that opponent is?
Yeah, we're going to get sweet, another chance at a victory over Rutgers.
Great. Rutgers and Purdue basketball. Nothing bad has ever happened when these two teams have met. So we'll get to that in a moment. But first, there's now been four games completed in the Big Ten tournament. We're currently watching Penn State and Illinois play, but that one is not yet over. Currently a very tight game. Ryan has been running the bracket challenge that we put out on Twitter and had 20-some folks enter on short notice, including, I believe, everyone on our staff. So, Ryan, how are things looking? How are people doing?
Well, if this is any indication of how we're going to be doing for the overall bracket challenge, we should not put money in.
Expand on that. Give me more information.
So, four games have been played so far in the Big Ten tournament, and in all of the entries, no one has gotten more than half of the games right.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, in fairness, the lower seed has won every game, and that has never happened in the history of the Big Ten tournament that the lower seed has won the first four games.
Yeah, so... I mean, it's unprecedented, but I mean, we're still calling it wrong. A couple people already have their champion is knocked out.
Oof.
Yeah.
It has to have been Iowa, because surely no one had Ohio State winning it all, or Wisconsin. I can't imagine. Right. So,
I will say one of the H&R writers, not going to say which one, had Nebraska in their championship game, so they are out.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was not either of us. We did ours on the air, so we know that it was neither of us, so that is a good sign at least.
Right. Yep. Not going to throw anyone under the bus today.
Okay, good. Good. So I'll tell you, I mean, for those who remember the last episode, and we went through our picks. I am 0-4. I missed every single game. I picked Wisconsin. I picked Nebraska. I picked Michigan. And I picked Iowa. So I am literally 0-4 right now. In the game that is going on, Penn State-Illinois, I had Penn State. And in the late game that is coming up after this, I picked Maryland. As we said, no idea how either of those are going to end up right now. But man, I could end up looking 0-6 over the first two days, and that would be just horrendous.
They can't say much anyway. I've picked one correct game so far.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure I'm happy about that pick.
Which I don't even remember which one it was.
It was the Rutgers game.
Oh, right.
So, not sure I'm actually happy to see Rutgers.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So, Big Ten Tournament is wild. It's been fun. I was able to watch the majority of the Michigan-Rutgers game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I've ever seen a team play as bad offensively in a second half as Michigan. With like a minute to play, they had made 2 field goals.
Yeah, out of 18.
Yeah, so they wound up in the second half, they made 4 field goals for the entire half. And their first field goal they made with about 5 minutes gone by in the second half, and then they didn't make another one until about a minute and a half or 2 minutes left in the game.
And for whatever reason, they stopped giving the ball to their best player.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like Dickinson wasn't getting touches, and I couldn't understand why, because it's not like the game was out of hand and they needed just nothing but threes. I mean, as terrible as they were playing, Rutgers couldn't pull away. So it was just incredible that they stayed in the game despite only having 1 free throw for, you know, almost the entire second half. Or, I'm sorry, 1 field goal.
Right. Yeah. It was just mind-boggling. I mean, it kind of goes to show coaching does matter in the tournament. If I was Juwan Howard, I would be saying, get the ball to our best player.
Right.
Rather than let, you know, Kobe Bufkin and my own son shoot and jack up threes and miss, you know, many times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I get Rutgers has a really good defense. They have probably the best defense in the Big Ten, but you got to do something, and you got to go to your bread and butter when he's the reason you had the lead in the first place.
Right. Well, I mean, he's the reason you're where you are in the conference standings, where you are even on the bubble, and suddenly you go away from him, and it just didn't really make any sense to me. And now he's going to have to play in the NIT, it looks like.
Yeah, and I hate Rutgers for making me have to defend him.
Yeah, that's true. It's not something I think you would ever expect to have heard on this podcast. A defense of Hunter Dickinson coming up today on the Boiler Alert podcast. Not exactly what the listeners are here for.
Feel gross.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
In a shower.
So you know, we gotta see a lot of the Rutgers game today. Both of us, and obviously Purdue Rutgers going to be tomorrow, noon Eastern, 11 Central. You will be in attendance there at the United Center. What can we expect from this Rutgers team compared to when Purdue and Rutgers played earlier in the Big Ten season? Obviously, we know what happened in that game. Purdue lost 65-64. What is different about the Rutgers team we're going to be facing on Friday?
Yeah, well, the major difference is Rutgers will be without Mawat Mag.
He
suffered an ACL injury. He's going to be out. He played 15 minutes in the first meeting and scored 2 points. But anytime one of your forwards is out against Purdue, that's not great, because you really need depth against Zach Edey and company. So we'll see if Purdue's game plan is going to be to attack Cliff Amore. I always say Amarui.
I mean, in fairness to you, it is sort of spelled that way.
Right. Exactly. But if they attack Cliff Amore and get him into foul trouble, that's one less guy you have for depth in your for your big men. So we'll see how that plays out. But Rutgers, their style of play hasn't changed. They are still going to be a defensive, trap you, make you take tough shots team. And they showed that against Michigan today. They showed it throughout the season. It's just a matter of, can they score enough points?
Yeah.
Or do they run into a just, you know, a juggernaut of an offense who can get around their press?
Yeah.
This was the first game Purdue really had a incredibly difficult time with the press, just because Rutgers has some really long and, you know, athletic guards who can trap you and just make you pay for that, pay for not bringing the ball up quickly. Plus, you got two freshman guards for Purdue. You know, they weren't too used to it at the time. They better be used to it by now.
Yeah.
It's kind of been everybody's bread and butter against Purdue. So
yeah.
They have
yeah.
struggled at times, but they seem to have gotten better over time.
Yeah, it's something that Purdue has seen basically every game since it was kind of exposed as a problem by Rutgers, among mm-hmm. others. So I took a look at the box score from today's Michigan game versus Purdue Rutgers earlier in the conference season. And obviously, like you said, Mag is not going to be playing. He is out for Rutgers. But you just look at the difference from a shooting perspective from Rutgers. When Purdue and Rutgers played, they shot 43% from the floor. Today, they shot 39%. So you're like, okay, that's not that big of a difference. Here's where it gets big for Purdue. In that first game, 6 of 14 from 3 for 42%. Today, against Michigan, just 5 of 18 for 27%. So if Rutgers has a shooting game like that against Purdue, I'm much more confident in Purdue's ability to walk out of there, walk out of the United Center with a win. But It's not something I feel you can ever count on for a Purdue opponent, is to have a poor shooting night. So I'm pretty worried about that. I know Rutgers has shooters. Rutgers has guys who can make threes in Cam Spencer. Mulcahy, of course, can do it as well. Mulcahy did get poked in the eye today, but I think he should be fine. He's probably going to be back out without a problem, but looked rough for him for a minute there at the end of the game, but I don't expect there to be any lingering effects from that. So those are the two that worry me from a shooting perspective, and obviously Cam Spencer was the one who hit the big three against Purdue at the end of that game, so I would love to get a little revenge on both Spencer and Rutgers in general.
Right, and when you mentioned shooting, part of the reason Purdue lost in this game was their free throw shooting, too. They went 19 of 28
yeah.
in the first meeting, and when you miss 9 free throws, you leave yourself open for this kind of upset. So,
well, yeah, you miss 9 free throws and you lose by 1.
Yeah, exactly. So if they can settle that a little bit more, I'd feel more comfortable, but it's been up and down for free throws and shooting the ball with Purdue. So, you know, I don't think any normal Purdue fan goes into this game feeling great, but you feel like it's, you know, definitely possible and you should expect to win, but it's never close, is it?
No. Yeah, I mean, I think as a Purdue fans, I think we go into most games at this point expecting to win. And I think that's just fine. But we also have to understand Rutgers has given Purdue problems for like about the last 3 seasons. And it's been tough each and every time. Rutgers is a talented team. As you said earlier, they're long, they're athletic. They've got a lot of defenders. Who's the guy who they were talking about all day today who is just a steel machine?
Caleb McConnell.
Yeah, McConnell. He's close to setting the Rutgers all-time record for number of steals in a career. He played 36 minutes today. What's that?
Two-time defensive player of the year in the Big Ten.
Two-time defensive player of the year. So you know what you're getting when he comes on the floor, and he is going to be a problem for the young guards from Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were in the first game. I mean, Rutgers had 9 steals in the first time around. So I like to think that in 2 months' time that the freshmen have developed further and know how to beat a press and know the importance of ball security in this game, especially for a team that Rutgers doesn't score that many points. And if you take away transition points from them, it's even harder.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I because
think down low should defend Amore.
hey, you know what? That's Amore.
Defend him well. Yeah, exactly. So, if Edie's defending Amore, that's one of their major weapons. So this is where they need to start relying on other players to beat Purdue, and that's not their bread and butter.
No.
If you limit their defense turn to offense, you're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to your point about steals, steals are so crucial for what Rutgers does, because those are, you know, live ball turnovers where Rutgers generally has numbers and they're generally going to get easy shots out of it. And
right.
It's how Rutgers stayed in that first Purdue game for such a long time and ultimately allowed them to stay around and then put them in a position where a guy like Cam Spencer could hit that three as time wound down to put them in the lead. So, you know, again, I said it earlier in the pod, Cam Spencer and Mulcahy. Mulcahy absolutely was crushing Purdue in the second half of that first the first meeting between these two. He was able to get that mid-range shot. He was able to get basically anything he wanted in the second half. He was 7 of 13 overall, was the leading scorer with 16, and he just absolutely cut up the Purdue defense. And my hope is that Painter and the coaching staff know that that is what Rutgers is going to throw at them and have figured out a better way to defend it, because it certainly did not work the first time. Or, you know, I mean, you could say, hey, we're going to defend him the same way and just hope he doesn't shoot as well this time, because that seems to be what Painter likes to do. You know, he wants to play the percentages, wants to play the odds, and just hope it works out. But that can certainly be frustrating, as we saw when Purdue and IU played and Jalen Hood-Schifino just absolutely carved Purdue up from mid-range.
Right. Yeah, and another point of, I guess, optimism for this team is this was the game where they started off so slow. They went into halftime down by 10, and that was, like, unfathomable at the time.
Yeah.
But Purdue hasn't done that, really. Even in the losses, they had 2 games, essentially, where they just came out flat in the game. It was Rutgers and the first IU meeting.
Right.
So, Purdue, if they don't start out flat in that game, they do not lose that game. And I think Purdue has done a good job knowing to come out swinging more so and even hold on to a lead, even though the second halves haven't been too great.
Yeah, we've held on to them, but held on to them basically like a 2-year-old holds on to anything.
Right. So, you'd almost prefer to take the first swing and then sort of be prepared for a counterpunch rather than just be behind the eight ball.
Oh, absolutely.
And go halftime down by a lot.
Not even a question. I mean, I would rather come out punch first and then try to hang on for the next, you know, 34, 35 minutes rather than get punched and have to pull myself back off the mat. That pulling yourself off the mat and getting back in a game takes so much energy. And that's why so often you see teams, you know, fight all the way back against Purdue and then just fall short because, you know, they've expended so much energy to get there. And it's so hard to keep that up for so long. So, yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I would rather come out, you know, do the punch first and then hang on. It may not be as, you know, it may not be good for every Purdue fan's heart out there to watch games like that, but a win at the end of the day is a win, so we'll take that anytime.
Right, and just keep winning.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this is win and go home. Win or go home, not win and win or go home time here in March. I mean, you know, it sucks to say, but this is the time of the year Purdue could have only two games left. You know, Purdue could lose tomorrow, and then we could go into March and lose game one, and that could be the end of the season. So we know that as fans. The coaching staff knows that. The players know that. So let's hope they come out and play with a sense of urgency and really, really kind of get their minds right and get their shooting right before they head into the NCAA tournament. So do you have a prediction for this game? I mean, if it's is it going to be vengeance or is it going to be heartbreak?
I think this one will be vengeance, though I say that, but I got a 50-50 chance, apparently, for my picks for the rest of this tournament. So I'll take Purdue, as I did in my bracket. So I just think they're better poised to attack a team like Rutgers and kind of exploit their defense. And they know their bread and butter. If you get the ball into Zach Edey, you're going to be good.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. I didn't have this game happening, so ultimately my pick is brand new here for you all on the podcast. But I'm with you. I'm picking Purdue. I think the Rutgers team we're going to be facing on Friday is not the same team that we played at the beginning of the conference season. They've really struggled a bit on offense. Their defense is going to be just as sharp, so that does worry me. But I really hope that Purdue can slow down either Spencer or Mulcahy just enough to allow the Purdue offense to kind of push forward, get over that hump of 69, which seems to be, you know, if we get more than 69 points, we win. So I hope that's what's going to happen tomorrow, and Purdue can roll into the Saturday games of the Big Ten tournament. So
there Brandon you go. Newman had a good game.
He did, yeah. Time. I was going to point that out, too. He was 3-for-6 from three.
Yep. So see if he can keep that up. He's been playing well lately.
Yeah, yeah, and having him inserted in the starting lineup might just be the juice that we need. So what time are you getting to the United Center tomorrow?
I will probably be there at 9 to pick up my credentials. That's all when the box office opens.
Yeah.
9 Central, I should say.
Okay, yeah. Did they send you a seating chart or anything? Do you have any idea where you're sitting yet?
Not quite yet. They have sent me my parking pass. That's okay. About it.
All right, is the parking pass actually close to the arena, or are you way far away?
It's not too bad. It's the A lot, so if okay. or if letters dictate,
right? Yeah, close. It should be pretty close. So, all right, that's very exciting. So, Ryan, we had somebody ask us about this on Twitter, and I don't think we've ever mentioned it on the podcast. So you will be in the United Center for the game. If somebody wants to follow you and tweet, see your tweets tomorrow, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. My Twitter handle is at PURB97. It is the same as my handle on Hammer and Rails.
There we go. There we go. So I just somebody pointed that out on Twitter today, and I was like, you know, I don't think we've ever actually said that. So glad we could get that before you are going to be tweeting from the United Center tomorrow, hopefully with a Purdue victory. And just a reminder, you are not wearing the bad luck shirt, correct?
Correct.
All right. There we go. That's all I needed. All right. There we go, folks. Purdue, Rutgers, noon Eastern. Let's boiler up.
Hammer down.
The vengeance tour begins.